Hello there, happy Tuesday. So happy you're here. And today we also have a special guest. I'm super excited about this interview. It was a blast. And today we are talking to Sue Page. She is a nutrition coach and menopause educator who works exclusively with perimenopausal and menopausal women to help them understand what is happening in their bodies and empower them on how to create healthy lifestyles so they can take on the next stage of their lives with renewed energy, confidence, and joy. Now, you might not be here yet, but guess what? As women, we will all enter this season at some point, and I find it so interesting just this type of change that happens in our body. And Sue actually struggled with her own journey with little to no support when she entered menopause, and now she wants to make an impact with other women and help them embrace midlife. So let's get into the interview. Welcome to Reps and Redemption. What would your life look like if you started to prioritize your health and your faith? Have you been up late at night Googling healthy grocery lists, upper body workouts, or quiet time with God ideas? Hey there, I'm Ashley Harvey, college athlete, Jesus follower, now wife and stay-at-home mom of three daughters. In this podcast, you will be motivated to build your physical strength, increase in biblical wisdom, and utilize tactical health tips. If you're ready to be a part of a like-minded community of moms who want to be bold in their faith and live well, you're in the right place. Grab an iced coffee or a Celsius and head to the gym. Let's dive in. Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to Reps and Redemption. I'm so glad you are here today, and I'm super excited to talk with Sue Page. We met in a precision nutrition coaching group that we're in together because we are both coaching in different capacities, and I am so excited to have her on the show. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Hi, Ashley. It's so nice to be here.
Thank you so much. Okay, so I know I gave a little intro in the beginning of the show, but tell us a little more about yourself, what you do, where you're at, all the things.
Sure. So like you say, we met in the precision nutrition, which is easy for you to say, right? Get your teeth around. So I am a nutrition coach and also a health coach. I did health coaching at IIN. I'm based in New Jersey, just outside of Manhattan, but my focus is working with perimenopausal and menopausal women, primarily because my own journey through both perimenopausal, well, I'm still perimenopausal, really just made me so aware that there was so little education and there's a lot of confusion and misinformation, and it was really challenging to understand what was going on with my body and work out the best solutions and how to nurture myself through midlife and beyond. So that really set me off on a path of transformation, which ultimately then led me to coaching and being able to help other women.
Wow, yeah, when you and I discussed what we were going to talk about on the show today and you gave me the topic, I'm super interested in this topic because I do think there's so much that I don't know. And I mean, just sharing maybe too much information, I will be 38 in February. I am in my late 30s, and I mentioned to you before that in my cycle recently, I've noticed several things that are different. Now, I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I wanted to have you here because, it can happen at any point, right? In our mid-30s, late-30s, is that kind of like the age, or it's not discriminatory to age, right?
It's not, and I think one of the things that makes it quite complicated is that we're all very different. So in the same way that we started periods at different ages, right, is the same way that we're going to experience perimenopause and menopause. So there is no normal, and I think that's really one of the most important things to understand here. There's an average, right? So most women will start perimenopause probably around, 45, and will be then postmenopausal at 52, 53. So there, it's probably best to backtrack a bit. So there are really three stages of menopause. So perimenopause can last maybe 5 to 7 years, and that's the before menopause. So that's when you start to notice these changes, when our hormones start to go a little bit crazy. And one of the best analogies that I've seen actually is really kind of like it's like puberty in reverse.
Oh,
So
wow.
we're all going to experience this. There's no getting around it or getting away from it. So, some women unfortunately will be put into surgical menopause if they have hysterectomies and have their ovaries removed. Others, most of us will go through it naturally, but we will all go through menopause. So it's how we experience it that will be different. So with perimenopause, the average age for me, I started around about 42. And my knowledge of it was, it was going to be bad periods and hot flashes. Nobody told me that I would have urinary issues, that I would have, incontinence issues, that I would have brain fog, that I would actually think I was losing my mind,
Oh,
because
wow.
it's just not discussed. So, and it actually took random comments from friends and family for me to start to piece these pieces together to fully understand that actually I wasn't dying and I wasn't going mad, and that actually it was perimenopause. So, there are, I think being able to talk about it and to drive awareness out there is super important, because there are so many different symptoms associated with it that, just far reaching beyond just noticing changes in our periods and having hot flashes.
Wow. Yeah. So would you say, I mean, thank you so much for helping me understand it more. Is there anything else that really, because you did just mention that it kind of, the symptoms are kind of all over the place, right? Just with, as it is with people, with other women, their periods or pregnancy, we all experience different symptoms. So would you say there's anything we can expect that, might be like a sign that this could be starting?
I think the obvious one is that you notice changes in your periods, right? And I think for most women, we'll see some kind of change, and it may well just be that they're a couple of days lighter, or you'll notice more gaps in between, so the cycle will change. But I think now there are something like 39 published symptoms. So, things like night sweats, and you might experience that more when you're cycling, right? So you can actually time it to your cycle. Hot flashes throughout the day, but things like fatigue, loss of libido, changes in your hair and skin, worsening migraines, that there are so many different symptoms that, like I said before, when you look at them in isolation, you wouldn't necessarily think them about being perimenopause. But if you can educate yourself, and be aware of what may possibly be coming, then it's much easier to join the dots. Because I think sometimes we don't tend to, it's like, oh great, my period wasn't so bad this month, right? And you dismiss it and move on. We rarely, I think for most of us, we rarely really look at our cycle and our periods as an indication that something might not be quite right. And so then being able to tie that in with, okay, well, what's happening with my skin, or why can't I remember anybody's name? I think being able to have that overall awareness, because like I say, we are all so very different, that it makes it challenging. And there is no normal, and there is no test that you can do, because normal doesn't, what's normal for you is not normal for me, and so on. So generally, it's a symptom-based diagnosis. And if you are 45 and over, and you're experiencing, hot flashes, changes in periods, and number of these different symptoms, then basically, it's pretty much safe to say that you're perimenopausal.
Got it. Okay. Wow. So that was super informative and packed with some good information. I'm going to ask you because if there's anything else maybe that we should cover about helping us understand it, but you kind of covered a lot there. But my third question for you is, let's say there's somebody listening right now and they're like, oh my gosh, I think this is my season. I think that I am entering this new phase of life. And what can they do, what can they start doing if they haven't been doing that could help maybe ease the fog or the hot flashes or the symptoms? Do you have any experience with that?
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, lifestyle habits are absolutely key when you get to midlife. And what I say to my clients, really, it's time to strap on your big girl pants, right? And it's really time to, start focusing on quality of nutrition, quality of sleep, how we're managing stress, how we're exercising and working out. I think so many of us, especially my generation, I know so you I'm a little bit older than you, actually. I'm now 52,
We don't
so
have to
we're
say
probably
that.
that's okay. That's what
I
makes
told you
me
how old I am.
that makes me an expert in my topic, right? But I think, we're of that generation that we were brought up to, being healthy was restrictive, right? We restrict ourselves. We go on these fatty diets. We restrict calories. We restrict certain food groups. We exercise until we're half dead. And you've got to bring it back and realize that that is not what we need going forwards. We have to be able to honor our bodies and listen to our bodies and really start to be in touch with them, and understand that the quality of nutrition and the quality of, I mean, sleep is everything. We could start with sleep, but what I coach is really the five pillars of menopausal health, which is, obviously is it's sleep, it's stress, it's nutrition, exercise and movement, and then education around hormone therapy, because there is help on hormone replacement if that's a route that you choose to go through. But that's not the hormone therapy is like the cherry on top of the cake, right? It's no good taking that if you're not sleeping and you're not eating properly. And I think really, so being able to be an adult about your health and your lifestyle. And I think for a lot of us, we kind of live off this, oh, we're running around and we're doing everything, we're having it all, and aren't we being great? When actually, that's not beneficial. We've got to really sort of like calm everything down, and just really focus on those key pillars. But the other thing I think really is to understand that your primary care physician may not be equipped to help you. So, because there simply isn't training in menopause, right? So, and obviously you can tell by my accent that I'm not originally from New Jersey. So I pay very close attention to what's going on in this space in the UK as well. And the training for doctors over there have like 5 years of medical school. There's like 30 minutes on menopause. So there's so much misinformation and disinformation that you have to become an advocate for your own
For
health.
yourself,
You absolutely have to become an advocate. And so being able to, educate yourself, being aware of what these symptoms are, working with people like me, but just, having that understanding that, you can control this. You are in control of your own destiny, but you really do need to grow up in your approach to it. I think is really how I approach it, because it's like I say, for a long time, I think we don't treat ourselves properly. And how we treat our bodies now, and how we are, for me now in my 50s, is really an indication of how we're going to age.
That is super powerful. I love how you said, we need to get, at this point, get our big girl pants on. And on this show, one of the main things that I love talking about is just sharing with moms, stay-at-home moms, to prioritize their health and their fitness, their nutrition, their faith. And if there was anything, you could tell women in their 20s, late 20s and 30s, is I feel like you would almost say the same thing, right? To prioritize those five pillars anyway, maybe for the exception of hormone therapy, which we should talk about again on another show. But
Probably,
what would you
yes.
say if someone was like, well, I'm not quite there yet, because I don't want someone to listen to the show and be like, well, I'm not really there, it's irrelevant, because I find this topic super interesting, because one day, God willing, we will all cross this into this new season of perimenopause and then menopause. And I love learning about our bodies, especially as women. And what would you say to someone? Obviously, I told you earlier, I'm 38. So what would you just say to my age range of, how I can prepare now? Would you just kind of copy and paste the answers that you just gave us?
To a certain extent, yes, because I think, I spend a lot of time in social media in this space as well. So there's a lot of noise out there right now. Menopause seems to be the new buzzword, and there's a lot of the menopause diet, or references to, getting rid of meno belly and meno fat and all these hideous terms. And oh, it's our hormones, and I actually have a lot of clients that come to me and say, I've done everything, I can't lose weight, it's my hormones. And actually, It's not. It's like, our hormones are responsible for changing our body composition. So, that's where where we tend to see more, of the adipose fat laying around on our tummies, on our belly fat. But that's not, it's the reason you're gaining weight is not because of your hormones. The reason you're gaining weight is because we're aging, right? So we're using less energy. We tend to lose muscle mass if we're not training properly. And what tends to happen is that I've tried everything is I've not actually changed anything. So we're not being focused on nutrition. We're not focused on eating enough protein. We're not focusing on lifting heavy weights, right? Most of that is most women that I work with or I speak to about this have come from, I'm restricting calories. I'm on 12 to 1500 calories a day.
Oh, geez.
I'm doing 60 minutes of cardio,
Oh.
right? And nothing's happening. And we know the reasons why. So the
Exactly.
training, my training's probably not that much different to yours, right? I strength train 5 times a week. I'm really proud of how strong I am. And I think you have to shift that focus from, your health is not dictated by the number on the scale. What's important is how strong you are and how flexible you are. And as you well know, there's a myriad of reasons why we should be picking up heavy things. And especially in midlife, because we're more susceptible to osteoporosis as we age. And just building muscle strength, and the more muscle that we have, the less likely we are to gain weight because we're going to burn more energy, right? So those principles really aren't any different to what they would be to in your 30s and 40s.
Wow, yeah, no, that's super powerful because I think there is that misconception too, where if we, try the diet, the fad things that are happening, or maybe even just a low calorie diet and do a ton of cardio, that and it's really sad to see that sometimes because I mean, you and I know how incredibly empowering and awesome lifting weights is. We just understand that. And I think that if more of us as women can understand, like if we're feeling a certain way from ages 20 to 65, 70, 80, that it's never too late to start. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what really struck me is that we are so focused on the number on the scale, and where does that number come? I have no idea where that number comes from. We all think we should be a certain weight, right? Whether it was the weight we were when we were 21 or however we define that we were our happiest at that particular number.
Of
But
course.
it's just absolutely meaningless, right? And nobody teaches us how to eat. Right? Nobody actually sits us down and explains to us how we should be eating and the benefits of strength training. So we build this picture, from all this crazy fad diets. And one of the things that's doing the rounds right now, particularly in the menopause space, is intermittent fasting, right? You have to intermittent fast to lose weight in menopause, which is absolutely, intermittent fasting is just a tool,
It's
right?
not
If you like to eat in that style, then that's great. But you've still got to eat the right amount of protein and the
and
right
work
amount of
out.
carbs if you want to, and work out if you want to build muscle. So, let's stop focusing on the destination and focus on the journey, because the journey is never going to end. And, you've got to learn to love that process.
I love that. And trying new things too. If you what you said a few minutes ago about the fact is you haven't really changed anything. And I can tell you that I've been in that boat of blaming my hormones.
Right.
Especially with, my cycle or moods or things like that. And, gosh darn it, I've married someone so smart because he'll just say, well, how's your nutrition this week? And, what's great about that is finding people in your corner that will really call you on your BS. Because if you don't, you're just going to set yourself up for another disappointment because you're not making the conscious effort. And if you think you are, you don't have that accountability to kind of push you on your journey to the destination, which is why Sue and myself, we both coach in different capacities because having those people just really help when you want to get somewhere. And especially if you don't really have anyone available to you who wants to see the same things or do the same things you do. What's your favorite thing about coaching, Sue?
think just seeing the emotional and mental transformation, even past the physical transformation, right? And it's generally the aha moment, right? And I don't know, if you've experienced the same thing, but I think when it's so much of the time you're faced with a client and they just want to get they just want to lose weight. But when you start to unpick things, and like you say, they've never generally never worked with anybody before who's looked at the habits and behaviors, to understand. I find that a lot of clients are like, well, why aren't you giving me a meal plan? Why aren't you telling me what to eat? And so you have to explain that process. And what because that's what's happened in the last, the last 20 years or however long you've been following whatever plan you've been following. But why, one of my favorite things to ask is, why do we do the things we do when we know what we know? And that tends to sink in, and then you get that reaction where when you see a client actually get it and then become so much more invested in that journey and that understanding that health is so much more than weight. And there are such simple changes that they can make that will just make them feel so much better. And it's celebrating those small wins.
I love that. All right, we have to celebrate our small wins here because and also when we really focus on the I wrote this down because I know it's kind of like a regular term, but our lifestyle habits, they truly matter, right? Because if we're not really creating these habits to prioritize our health, for one, when we hit menopause or if we're almost there, it does become a lot harder. And I know a lot of women I've spoken to through this show and other clients that I've talked to on how hard it is to work out and prioritize our nutrition as moms. And I get it. I know that it is, and it is a challenge. But what you have to understand is if you pick just one thing to start doing, whether that's exercising or making better food, you're just going to feel better about yourself physically, and you're going to have more energy. So, like you said, why don't we do what we know we should do,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. Because it's hard, right? That's the thing. It's really hard. And I think, for, being a young mom and having young kids, and then you move into the sort of perimenopause and menopause, where maybe the kids are a bit older, but now you're not sleeping properly because your hormones are playing up, and you've got interrupted sleep and night sweats, and so you're tired. So you're not exercising, you're making poor choices with what you eat, and a lot of the times you're drinking too much because you can't sleep and you think alcohol is going to help you sleep, when actually it's going to stim it's stimulating estrogen, so that's actually going to make your hot flashes worse, and then you just it's just this vicious cycle, right?
Michael,
So, and then when it's just a lot, because then on top of that, a lot of women in this stage of life are the sandwich generation. So now not only do they have kids that are still at home, maybe kids that have come back, but they've also now got parents, elderly parents that they're caring for, and really, where I work with most of my clientele is with the sort of women with big jobs, that sort of C-suite executive, where they've their careers are growing and they're taking on much larger roles and responsibilities, but they have got no idea what's happening to their bodies, and not actually taking the time to step back and understanding that, really you've got to start at sleep to be able to win in all these other places, but also to take it in bites like these, as we know from precision nutrition, the 5-minute actions, right? So taking just this the small goals, and so really one of the first things I always do is, okay, what's happening with your sleep? You've got to, because that's you've got to fix that first.
And that's hard, and that's really hard for me personally because I have a 1-year-old, 5-year-old, 20-year-old. My mind is like, okay, I know it. And you know this as a woman who loves fitness, and you know this as a woman that just loves to work out and take care of her health, but then you have things you want to do. So then it's like, how do you balance getting a good night's sleep and then, for example, doing this interview and then, working a little bit. And so it's really a challenge, but I have learned that sleep is, and like you said, like we've been learning in our coaching program, that sleep is one of the things that has to be fixed, one of the things that has to be fixed first. And if we go into it with, well, I'll just have some wine, which a lot of us have done, and many of the women I've spoken to have done as well. No shame here. I'm just telling you what it is. It doesn't really help because you're, like you said, it's the vicious cycle of lack of sleep. You're drinking all this sugar, and then you think it's going to help you. And it's actually a huge sleep disturbance, even if we are, quote, sleeping, while after having it. And it's just kind of a hot mess. So.
And excuse me, alcohol is, when you get to a certain age, you start to notice that your friends say, "Well, I can't drink like I used to," or "I can't handle my wine anymore," and that is actually it's actually a scientific fact, right? Because we hold, estrogen, we have estrogen receptors all over our body, and so it's not just our, the sex hormone. It's our skin. It's the hormone of inflammation. It helps us retain fluids and retain water, so that when we have less estrogen, we're not retaining as much water, and therefore, there's not as much water in our bodies to dilute the alcohol that we're consuming. So hence why you feel worse from drinking less. But then there's also the fact that it stimulates estrogen production, so it can increase hot flashes. So I know for me, it's risk and reward, right? Do I really want this glass of wine? Well, yeah, I do, but I know what it's going to do to me. I know that I'm not going to be able to sleep. I know that I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. I know that I'm going to have hot flashes, and I'm probably going to feel like crap in the morning, and I'm not going to want to work out. So
I love
so then
that,
it's
the
like,
risk and reward.
is it worth it? And do you know what? Sometimes it is.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it is, because that's just, it's life, and none of it, we're not striving for perfection, right?
We're trying to enjoy the journey and
Exactly.
be somewhat balanced, even though does it exist? We don't know yet. I
Right.
guess it, some days, right? So, Sue, I feel like I can talk to you forever about so many things, but if I were to sum up our conversation here, when it comes to understanding perimenopause, what to expect and being prepared for it, we covered those things. But if I, really for all ages, women, in their mid-20s to now to older, basically, I know my audience is anywhere from late 20s to 45, 50. It just kind of depends, right? I'll probably get more honed in on the age bracket here in the next few months. But would you say that, what they can do now, whether they're starting perimenopause or in menopause or on the outskirts, what they can do now is, focus on their lifestyle habits, right? And what were those pillars that you mentioned before that we can just remind them to kind of focus on, especially going into Christmas and the holiday season and the rest of what we're doing? And actually, when this airs, I shouldn't say Christmas, but I should say this new year. How can they focus?
Hey.
I just had to look. I'm not
Right.
airing this episode until January. So if, when they're focusing on this year, 2023, and Happy New Year, what can they focus on? What are those lifestyle habits just to prepare themselves and to just live a healthier life?
Yeah, and lifestyle habits are the most important thing for sure. So within my program, we work on I call it nourishment, right? Obviously it's nutrition, but really it's working on nourishing and making sure that you have the correct nutrients, that it's a protein heavy diet, and that you're eating enough, right? Make sure that we're eating enough food. Sleep, as we've talked about, which is really the basis for everything. And then movement. And I think a lot of women get scared by, to your point, they're scared of strength training, and it's intimidating. But just making sure that you're moving and looking at how you can incorporate lifting weights. And I'd say for any woman, you touched on it earlier, that the sheer badassery that comes, right, from lifting heavy weights, and the difference it makes to your body. I mean, I'm just like, I adore strength training, but it took me until I was 50 until I started it, because I was, for all those reasons, I was scared. I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't know how to do it, or I might hurt myself. And actually, it's just so, I think that is, it, again, is finding your way to that is super important. How you manage stress, and not just how we consider that, stress from work or stress from children, but just how we manifest stress in general, so taking time to chill out, meditate, and making time for yourself. And then, like I say, the hormones, and what I do with most of my clients is I walk them through their options for hormone therapy because it can be confusing. Because, like I said, because your doctors aren't necessarily trained. So I talk them through those, what's available and how to have that conversation with your doctor. So if you do want to take hormone replacement, and to your point, it's probably a whole other discussion that I'm quite happy to come back and have with you. It's a very detailed area, but but to be able to set women up. So the most important thing is that to know that you have choices, and also to like I said earlier, to know that you to be an advocate for your own health, and your health is in your hands, right? You are in charge. You are in charge of this body. And you need to look after her, and you need to honor her.
I love that. Thank you so much, Sue. I really appreciate your time. I can't wait to have you on again whenever
Love
you'd like to come on.
that.
And where can anyone, if they're like, oh my gosh, I really want to learn more about her, I want to follow her or see what her coaching program consists of, or maybe I'd like to get this for my mom. So where can people find you? Let me know.
Probably the best place is Instagram. I'm most active on there, so that's 4050 fabulous. And then my email is sue@4050fabulous.com.
Awesome. And I will put her Instagram handle and her email in the show notes. Again, thank you everyone for listening to this show today. Make sure you just focus on those lifestyle habits that Sue gave us. I am here for that. Nourishment and sleep, movement, stress, what it takes to just feel better and to prioritize your health. You got this, Mama. Thank you so much, Sue, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Ashley. Really enjoyed being here.
If this episode motivated, inspired, or challenged you, will you share with a friend? I would be so grateful if you could leave Reps and Redemption an Apple Podcast review. This is the only way I know you like the show. Please join the Facebook group for accountability and community. Link in the show notes. Be bold, Mama, and live well. Until next time.